happy day.
Oh, happy day.
When Jesus wore. Oh, when he wore. When Jesus wore. He washed my sins away.
Live from New York City, it's the Gary Null Show. And now, your host, Gary Null.
Hi, everyone. I'm Gary Null, broadcasting and video streaming live from our studios, New York City, and I welcome you. Today, we're going to take a look at the public health issue of Gardasil, as I promised last week, to give voice to those who have suffered and frequently died. I'm going to read a story today. The story is from Mario Jimenez from Counterpunch, Gardasil Scandal Brewing in Colombia, about a Maria Mejia, one of Colombia's first Gardasil victims. It's a powerful story. Then in our public health segment, continuing, one in five pregnant women take opiate painkillers. Why that's such a bad idea and what can happen to the developing fetus. Then who's to blame when it comes to looking at who created this pain epidemic? How about Big Pharma? Martha Rosenberg. Share insights on that. And then something that I want to share with you, because we try to be ahead of the curve when it comes to looking at public health issues. And this is a really bad one. They are, according to Christina Sarich, the medical drug microchip. And it's only 2 years away. What's this mean? It means that they intend to implant medical microchips within 2 years that can deliver drugs, including routine birth control, all through wireless communications. Currently, drug reservoir chips can be implanted right under the skin, delivering pharmaceuticals of all kinds. But here's the troubling part of this. They won't be controlled by you, but rather by medical professionals. Imagine someone with the same level of morality as Monsanto, or a stock owner of Pfizer or Bill Gates, deciding who gets which meds and how much. We're already an overly medicated society. That's coming. It's already in place. So that you can expect. And what do you want to bet that most Americans will think is a good thing, you know, and sign up for it? Roll up their sleeve. Drugs that can kill. Those are some of the issues involved there. My guest in the second part of our program will be Gerald Salante. If you've never heard Gerald, you have to tell a friend. You've got to listen in on this one, because Gerald's going to take on all the important trends that he'll see for the next 6 months and why this is important. One of the biggest threats we have is the new Cold War that they're creating artificially in Ukraine. And we'll ask him about that and other important issues. So we have a lot to share today, plus environmental news. But we always start with the latest on health and healing. And also remember, we're carried all over the world, and with stations galore. And we do a 55-minute format. But you can also, if there's ever an emergency and you're traveling, you want to hear a program, you can go to the telephone and just dial a number and you can listen to this program. That number is 712-432-7231. 712-432-7231. Because you never know when that is going to, maybe a radio station will stop carrying it, the program. Maybe there'll be a transmitter failure. Think of it this way. Almost 9 months ago, there was a failure of a transmitter at our sister station, PFW in Washington. We lost over 95% of the power. No one knew. No one knew. And I remember we were in the middle of a fund drive, and I had a really popular premium on fascism. And yet, the phones weren't ringing. I thought afterwards, wow, that's strange. And little did I know that the phones weren't ringing because 95% of the people couldn't hear it. And it was only later, months later, that they got it fixed, but then it didn't get fixed again for a long period of time. Thank goodness people knew that if they couldn't hear for any reason, they could call on the phone. And we had, I think, 13,000 phone spikes in one day. And that was because they had the phone number. That's why I want you to have it. There is a good reason to take supplements. According to Nutrition Journal, a new article, it helps, rather than compensating for poor eating habits and its lack of exercise, the use of nutritional supplements is part of an overall healthy lifestyle among the majority of people. Quote, compiling the available data on the health habits of dietary supplement users, we gained a sharper insight into the positive lifestyle choices of this large segment. One half to two-thirds of all Americans take supplements, according to Dr. Annette Dickinson. Quote, evidence from numerous surveys show that dietary supplement users are more likely than non-users to adapt a number of positive health-related habits, such as consuming healthier foods, exercising regularly, maintaining a healthy body weight, and avoiding tobacco products. So that's good news. Why is it good news? Because there had been this assumption, first, that people were taking supplements because the rest of their lifestyle was unhealthy and they were just going to compensate. Not true. Taking supplements is a part of all the other positive choices they're making. So if you're going to be an athlete, the likelihood is that you'll take a supplement because you know it helps you being an athlete and also helps you stay healthier. There's a new meta-analysis, meaning multiple studies, in this case 68 randomized trials that examine the effects of the omega-3 fatty acids on 4,600 participants. And what they found was that it lowers your markers of inflammation when you're taking the omega-3s. And that means less likely to have autoimmune disease and be healthier. Now, we've known for a long time that cancer, diabetes, dementia, arthritis, all have as a signature inflammation. And we know what causes inflammation. By the way, stress is one of the principal causes of inflammation. But living in a polluted environment, the food and beverages we consume all can cause inflammation. Therefore, when you have anything that can stop that inflammation, lessen that inflammation, you're going to be healthier. And the omega-3 fatty acids do a great job at that. And that's why I believe that they should be consumed daily. Higher vitamin C levels link with lower risk of stroke, hemorrhagic stroke. This is from the American Academy of Neurology. And, quote, they talk about vitamin C, how much we need, and then what happens if we have more. And this noted that, you know, you actually, if you have more, you are going to be less likely to have consequences of the stroke. So you lower your risk of stroke. There's a certain logic behind this because vitamin C thins the blood. Vitamin C traps free radicals, neutralizes them. Vitamin C helps the body heal. So all that means you're lessening your likelihood of a stroke. I'm suggesting 2 to 5,000 milligrams of buffered vitamin C a day or up to bowel tolerance, then bring it back. Creatine, shows promise in Huntington's disease. This was done at Massachusetts General Hospital. And they found that creatine, which athletes use for body mass, muscle mass, and a group of people with a history of Huntington's disease, and were able to have substantial improvements. And we're only talking about 30 grams. That's just a little over, a tiny bit over an ounce. And this was against the placebo control, which didn't see any benefit. So that's good. And this was published in the peer-reviewed journal Neurology. Also, I mentioned about a month ago that sugar, processed white fructose, sucrose, glucose, was bad for you. Now we have another study from the Journal of the American Medical Association's Internal Medicine suggests that adding sugar to the diet could significantly increase the risk of dying from cardiovascular disease, the leading cause of death in the developed world. Researchers at the CDC evaluated data from participants at the National Health and Nutrition Examination Surveys and found that 71% of adults consumed at least 10% or more of their calories from added sugar, and some had 25% of their total calories from sugar. That's a lot of sugar in a day. And that meant that they were more likely to have the risk of cardiovascular death over a 14-year period. So, you want to die twice as fast? Eat more sugar. That's what the study is showing. Primate brains show omega-3 benefits. This is from the Journal of Neuroscience from Oregon Health and Science University. They report a brain benefit from the omega-3 fatty acids, DHA. In this case, it was in the rhesus macaw monkey. And the study is the first to utilize functional brain magnetic resonant imaging and just show that, you know, it improved their brain function. Well, first of all, have you ever been around monkeys where, not just like in a captivity, but where you were actually around monkeys where you had a chance to watch them and or interrelate with them even better? Well, being a rescuer, meaning people frequently contact me because I'm licensed to animal rescue and help and maintain animals, and I find them homes. And sometimes they've been abandoned. The mother abandons them. That's very common. Or if there's a group of them, especially I've seen this with ringtails, babies born, and the other females are jealous and will try to get the baby and kill it. And you would wish these things don't happen. Unfortunately, they do. So then you get a little baby monkey and you have to raise it. And you have to give it all the time and attention that its mother would. But it also likes to have its little security blanket. And it carries that little tiny blanket with it everywhere. And then it wraps itself up at night and hides underneath of it on its little teddy bear. So it's just the cutest thing in the world to see these two little gorgeous eyes and this little tiny hoot that it gives. And it hops around with the little teddy bear and his little security blanket on. And it won't go anywhere without it. But in nature, it would be on its mother. And the mother would be that teddy bear and its security blanket. So it kind of compensates. So a lot of bonding time is so important. I remember I hired a person one time and they said, well, what exactly are my responsibilities? I said, just to love the animals all day. What do you mean? I said, all you do, you're paid just to love animals. That's it? I said, that's it. That's it. Just we have someone else that cleans out their living environment and I have someone else that gives them the best foods. Just give them hugs and kisses and play with them. And the person says, you're kidding. I said, no. Well, I thought it would be more intellectually challenging. No. You want to see challenging? Watch how they think. They're very smart. They're real smart. If they see a television program they like, and they love animal programs and cartoons, they smile. They open their mouth and laugh. And if they get jealous, they turn their back on you for 3 days. Now, why 3 days? I don't know, but that they won't look at you for 3 days. And then they'll come over as if, okay, I forgive you, and then they rebond. They have all these unique qualities. But I see that all the animal rescuers, all the people that I can try to teach this to, feed the animal you're rescuing, a horse, a dog, cat, whatever it is. If there's no room in animal control or shelter, I'm not going to send a dog or cat to any shelter. It's going to euthanize it. I won't do that. I'll find a home for it. If you're patient in time, you'll find a home. But people are neither patient nor they feel they have the time. But don't feed dog food, cat food out of a box or a can. Give them high quality food. And I always start each day, especially with the primates, by giving them what I take every morning. It's virtually identical, and it's loaded with the omega-3 fatty acids. So I was interested when I saw this study. The omega-3 primates' brain, it helps the brain. Well, it helps human brains. If L-carnosine and resveratrol can allow your cells to live longer by keeping the telomeres alive longer, then why couldn't it help a primate? So give them that each day. You give them some L-carnosine, you give them resveratrol, you can keep them alive longer. We just thought, well, it's a dog or it's a cat, give them something. No, that's how you shorten their lives. Your cat should live 30 years. I've got a 20-year-old cat now that just as healthy as can be. Why? Because she's a cat that goes out at night and hunts. And then in the morning, I give her a bowl filled with all these different nutrients to help her kidneys, her spleen, her digestion, her skin, her immune system. Healthy as can be. Dogs should live 25 to 28 years. And they're not. It's because we're not feeding them right. I'll do a separate program on this. Anyhow, omega-3, good for the primate, good for human brains. Make sure you get your omega-3s each day. Get off the sugar. And finally, this was good news. U.S. workers benefit from the Mediterranean diet. This is from PLOS One. Quote, research shows a protective effect for a Mediterranean diet, characterized by an abundance of fruit, vegetables, whole grains, nuts, fish, and olive oil, against the risk of cardiovascular disease. And they used a group of Midwestern firefighters for this. And they worked with 780 of these male firefighters. They were scored on their adherence to a Mediterranean-style diet. And they had 35% lower risk of a metabolic syndrome compared to their colleagues who didn't make the changes. 43% lower risk of gaining weight over a 5-year period. Lower body fat, better cholesterol levels, better blood pressure. Quote, our study adds more evidence showing the health benefits of a Mediterranean diet even after adjusting for exercise and body weight. And that was published in PLOS One. That's terrific news. And I frequently see a fire truck stop and a bunch of these firefighters get off on their way back and they're on their break there after fighting a fire and they load up with fresh juices. So there are firefighters in New York City who are fully aware of that they're working in a stressed environment and a very toxic environment. Inhalation of these fumes is like a coal miner getting black lung or a person working in the cotton mills getting brown lung. You've got to keep your coenzyme Q10 level high. I would suggest that all firefighters 300 milligrams of Q10 a day and maybe 20 milligrams of NADH a day, vitamin E, 4 to 800 units of mixed natural tocopherols a day, vitamin C. On days when you're in a fire, when you're breathing in smoke, maybe 5 to 10,000 milligrams or up to bowel tolerance of buffered vitamin C. But then change the diet. And there's always ways of making a traditional unhealthy dish healthy. by the way, my new cookbook, which I'm just starting to make the dishes now. I was figuring out, what could I do? You know, I did this one cookbook last year that came out, in the past 12 months came out, and it was very popular, and I want to do something different. And so now I'm going to do gourmet vegan dishes to challenge the top 5 dishes in the top 50 cuisines. So there'll be around 250 to maybe 300 dishes. So I'll take your top 5 Italian dishes and Swedish dishes and German dishes. I can't take top 5 English dishes because I don't think they've ever had a single healthy dish, even a tasty dish in England. That would be an interesting scavenger hunt. See if you can actually find a tasty dish in England. I don't think you'll win. But, of course, you have 1,000 good dishes in Japan, China, and France, and Italy, Spain also, in the Caribbean. So I'm finding the best dishes. But these are all unhealthy recipes. So my challenge is to make them healthy and as tasty. So I'm starting that next Monday. Every night I'm going to set time aside to work on that. And I'll have it done in about 3 months. It'll be fun. Then, cinnamon improves liver function, and especially in non-alcoholic fatty liver disease. This is published in the peer-reviewed journal Nutrition Research, and it showed in this trial that when people were given 750 milligrams of cinnamon or a placebo daily for 12 weeks, big difference in the enzyme, liver enzymes, C-reactive protein, both markers of inflammation. So 750 milligrams, that's a tiny amount. That's just a little. You could shake a little bit on your oatmeal. You could shake some into a smoothie, and that would be more than 750 milligrams. But that will help you, especially if you've had hepatitis, if you've had sclerosis, if you've drank alcohol, it'll help your liver. Too much sitting linked to major disability for those who are over the age of 60. This is from Northwestern University Center for Healthcare Studies. You got to get up. You got to move around. You shouldn't be sitting. You got to get up. Move. That'll make a difference. And one way to lower the risk of death from all causes, there it is again, omega-3 fatty acid. Published in the peer-reviewed Journal of Nutrition, Metabolism, and Cardiovascular Disease. And this was done at Nanjing University. 16,000 subjects. Randomized, double-blind, placebo-controlled. Take your omega-3 fatty acids. You can help dying from heart attack, stroke, help your brain. It's good on all levels. I'm Gary Knoll. That's the latest on health and nutrition. Back in a moment. Please stay with us. We'll be going to my guest in about 8 minutes from now. Because I won't be able to take calls after he's on the air, because once he gets on a rip, he will go. I'm going to ask people who would like to call in on our talkback segment. You have a chance now. 888-874-4888. That's 888-874-4888. And want to mention, we'll be meeting 9 o'clock, 5th Avenue and 90th Street in Central Park for our running and walking to get you in good shape and get you ready for the marathon. Then Monday evening, we'll be meeting here. Also, our first indoor meeting at our office where people can come and and get real in-depth information. Now, I mentioned about this new medical drug pumping microchip that's going to be implanted in people within 2 years. And remember what I said, this can be controlled remotely, meaning you'll be given a dose day after day in perpetuity until a professional decides to stop doping you up. Well, that's great for the pharmaceutical industry. The microchip reservoir technology was first developed by the Massachusetts Institute of Technology, MIT, in the 90s. It was designed to be controlled through a wireless signal, just like your phone. The technology now powers the company called Microchips as part of their corporate agenda. Presented on their site, they say they intend to develop, quote, long-term implantable drug delivery technologies with wireless communications. Also, progestin and estrogen can be released into a woman's body to act as a method of birth control. But hold on, that can also increase cancer, heart attack, stroke. Synthetic hormone replacement therapy is not healthy. No, it's not. But here's where it gets really creepy. If a woman could turn her own microchip birth control on or off of her own accord, that would be at least under her control. But what if she doesn't realize that? Think of the dangers to a person's body. These are new technologies, but they're going to be delivering drugs, and they can deliver a drug for 16 years straight. That's based upon their clinical trials. And how would anyone then know what you're taking? That all would be public knowledge to those who have access to that data. So let's just look at the worst case scenario. Now, this is purely a theoretical model, but I believe that we must always look at the worst case possibilities. Let's just say that we, by the next few years, we mandate that we are a nation that has too many emotionally destabilized people. And so those on both the left and the right politically decide to protect people from any form of suicide or post-traumatic stress or murder or crime, that they be given psychiatric meds. And by that time, the Diagnostic and Statistical Manual of Psychiatry, number 5, would have made almost any behavior pathological and diagnosable, and hence treatable. You would not be able to resist it. If you were told that you needed a med, they could implant this and know that if you left it in or took it out. So they could give you any amount that they wanted, and you had no choice over under it. Remember, you've seen the movies like One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest, where you know he faked swallowing the pills. You couldn't fake anything. Could you imagine, in the worst Orwellian concept, than being able to control children? Right now, 10% of all children, 10%, take a psychiatric med every morning. They shouldn't be taking any. Now imagine then that they mandated it. So, just think, before everyone rushes off to do this, there's a consequence to this. Not a good idea. Also, I want to mention the story of one Maria Paula Mejia. She's a college student. Since receiving 3 doses of Gardasil, her health has deteriorated considerably. She now suffers from constant pain throughout her body and muscles. They're weak, and she has bleeding from her nose and gums. She has so much pain in her left knee and ankle that she must walk with a cane. She cannot continue her college education. Paula is one of the first in Colombia to report a serious medical condition occurring after the use of Gardasil. Lloyd Phillips, an American researcher on infectious disease and genetics, has studied the adverse effects of Gardasil for 5 years. His work has revealed how Gardasil works differently in different people. He's documented related and biologically plausible mechanisms of action which could cause the many serious and life-threatening side effects which are being reported by girls and young women around the world after receiving the human papillomavirus vaccine. In Colombia, there is a potential crisis of major proportions. Why? Because it is compulsory. By the law of the Republic, you must take it. It is free, but you must take it. It is assumed that this human papillomavirus vaccine is effective when used to combat cervical cancer, which can be caused by human papillomavirus. However, this vaccine has been debated on this program multiple times in articles I've written, in a documentary I did, all showing it's dangerous and it's ineffective. It is currently being administrated in Colombia without obtaining any informed consent from young girls or their parents about their risks. The director of vaccination, the Minister of Health, Garcia, says the government is, quote, confident in the report of the World Health Organization, which gives the go-ahead to the vaccine and assumes and assures that there is no association between the developments of illness and the vaccine. It's not the case, however. There are others who share otherwise. For example, the Colombian Cancer Institute says the vaccine protects exclusively against human papillomavirus, quote, does not remove the possibility of having other diseases. In adolescence is the time at which diseases such as lupus and rheumatoid arthritis start to appear. The only contradiction is pregnancy, and specialists have no hesitation to recommend the vaccine. However, neither the director of the Ministry of Health nor anyone else at the Colombian Cancer Institute seemed to be informed about how the vaccine is produced. They're absolutely clueless on the work that the average person listening to this audience would already know. So we've sent them our reports. But her story is atypical, and she did what she was told to do. She was completely normal on all of her adjustment points in life until she took the three, and then she began to suffer strength in her left leg, wrist pains, dizziness, neuralgia throughout her body, a painful spinal zaps, as well as continuation of the zaps in her hips and limbs. She began to suffer difficulty breathing at certain times of day and chest pain, bleeding in the nose and gums, and deviation of the left knee and left ankle. And through all these symptoms, medical observations and tests were useless. They could not diagnose her. And then someone suggested, was she recently vaccinated? The answer was yes, but that didn't come from any doctor. And once the team looked, then they saw what she was. One more victim of Gardasil, and that's unfortunate. I'm Gary Nall. Let's say hello to Stuart from Los Angeles. Hi, Stuart. You're on the air.
Hi, Gary. I've rescued a lot of animals, and I've been frustrated as far as what to feed them. I've given up on the pet stores, and you just brought it up that you're going to talk about what to feed the animals, and I want to ask you when you're going to talk about that. And I should mention I have rabbits, cats, and dogs.
Good. Well, then I will mention, I'll leave it up to the audience to call in about which animal. Ferrets, rabbits, horses, cows, pigs, swans, geese. It doesn't matter.
I guess I would vote first for dogs. They're the biggest frustration for me right now.
Okay, but I what I'm saying is it doesn't matter which animal you call in about. I will address the feeding and care of those animals. And before we go to our guest who's standing by, let's say hello to Jim from New Jersey. Hi, Jim. Your turn.
Hi, Gary. It's Tim. Hi.
Hi.
I was wondering, a while ago, I had called in and asked if there was any chance of ever doing a show or a full show or maybe a series on the UFOs and the ETs. Has that been canceled?
Not at all.
Oh, it's going to come up.
So. It is, but here's how we approach something. When we do a program on UFOs, it will be with people who have substantive backgrounds, something to lose by being insufficient in their evidence, and the evidence we will present, whether you choose to accept it or reject it, it'll be something you won't be able to drive a truck through. Okay? And if you want to see how far it goes, read the article by Richard Gill and I that took over a year of research to write. that has been shown hundreds of thousands of times on websites around the world called The Hidden Hand. It's not about an Illuminati. It's not about the Council on Foreign Relations or Bilderbergs. It tells you about the 143 corporations that you've never heard of and how much money they have and how much power they have and what they control and interlocking boards and how they manipulate. We now know for a fact that all the gold prices, silver prices have been manipulated, the LIBOR. In fact, that's already been proven and fines assessed, manipulating in the greatest financial fraud in history, manipulating the LIBOR, interest rates. We know that they manipulated the price of oil. So these are conspiracies. We simply present the facts. Thank you for calls. Let's go to Gerald Salante, who's standing by now. Hi, Gerald. Nice to have you with us today.
Hey, thanks for having me back, Gary.
Gerald is one of today's pioneers in trends strategy. He founded the Trends Research Institute in Kingston, New York, and is the publisher of the Trends Journal. Gerald is a person who is not clairvoyant. He is not a futuristic alchemist. He is simply a pragmatist. He looks at the available evidence. He separates out what is reasonable from not reason, and he comes up with projections. His projections have been so remarkably accurate that for over 25 years, he's been able to give us, those of us who care, an idea of what is about to happen. Gerald, a few things. 5 years ago on this program, you and I had a discussion. We said, what role is China? And people didn't believe China had any role. I said, is it not true that China could be the leading power within, economic power within 5 years? You said, yes. I said, isn't it going to be the moment they're the economic power that China and the BRIC nations will no longer have the dollar as a reserve and go to their own mixed currencies, which means you're going to have a hyperinflation in the United States. The value of what we own is going to go down. The cost of buying is going to go up. And you said, yes. Didn't we both talk about that we have paid no attention to the environment? We weren't going to pay attention to the environment. Most people would live in denial of the environment until it was too late to do anything about the environment. Well, look at what happened. Gee whiz, yes and yes again. So on those, you said and I said that we believe that the dollar should be stable because of no place else to put the euro, and it was the euro was in effect being supported by the dollar and vice versa. But if you allowed gold and silver to go their rightful value, gold would be right now around $3,000 and silver would be around $50 to $60. That has been artificially held down, and there's new evidence of that. That'll change. So that's just a few of the things you and I have discussed of what was going to happen that have happened. Now, here's my questions for now. Give us your idea, in summaries, please, of what you see happening in the United States first that would be of interest to this audience, but we're a worldwide audience, and then take us around the world showing us what you believe are going to be the likely outcomes in the near future in the issues that you find you've been studying.
Well, most people are concerned with the economy, and when we saw this harsh winter that we had up here in Dutchess County or in Ulster County, electricity rates went up over 38%, 40%, and people are barely making ends meet. And all of this stimulus has only enriched the rich. And of course, in listening to you, you know, these aren't conspiracy theories, they're facts. Everybody saw who reads. For example, a handful of hedge fund operators, among them 20 or so, made about $25 billion this year in profit just for themselves, take-home pay. So the gap between the rich and the poor is going to continue to increase. We're at a very critical point now at the equity markets. We're looking at a NASDAQ bubble very similar to the one that happened in 2000. And we're seeing it with these companies like Twitter and others. Anybody that goes to Facebook, Twitter, nobody looks at the advertisements. So they're really not making that kind of money that they say they are. So we're looking at a possible bubble. The real problems, I believe, are going to start coming from that so-called millennial generation. And these are the people that are in debt by going to college. I mean, they're talking about, what, about you're 40 years old before you pay off your college debt? So that's going to hurt the housing market very much, because about 40% of new homes are from people under about 32 years old. They're not buying. Then again, we go back to the only reason we have this equity market bubble that we see now is because the record low interest rates, and the record low interest rates means that mergers and acquisitions, hedge funds, all of these players are just gambling more money. You're seeing now, Gary, mergers and acquisitions, leverage buyouts, and speculation that is 3 trillion times over the amount that it was before the bubble crashed. That's the United States. Geopolitical. China, we were just talking about it. The United States is trying to challenge China with their pivot to Asia. And now China just put a drilling rig over there off the shores of Vietnam. But by the way, very far off the shores. And these are disputed territories. But we heard Hillary Clinton say when she was Secretary of State that the United States is going to stand by Vietnam if there's a dispute between China and Vietnam over the Spratly Islands and other islands, the Paracel Islands. And then we just saw President Obama come back from Japan saying that the United States is going to defend Japan in their contest and conquest between China and Japan over the islands in dispute as well. And by the way, people should really read the facts about this, because all of the data shows and all of the facts show that China indeed does have rights to these islands, and they were stolen from them by Japan's colonial conquests back at the end of the 19th century. So that's how it looks. And again, my belief is that when all else fails, they take you to war, and they keep beating the war drums. And now, of course, we're moving into Africa because of what's going on in Nigeria. And you have the Trends Journal. We did Four Corners of the World, where we were showing conflicts and then all of the conflicts. The corners that we picked out were Nigeria, Africa, of course, Thailand, Venezuela, and Ukraine. What's going on, and the people, you know, about these children, these young girls that are being massacred or stolen by this psychotic group out there, they're using that as an excuse for a so-called humanitarian mission, when the bigger picture is the AFRICOM divisions that the United States is moving into Africa in order to challenge China over the natural resources. And they're using this excuse just as they did. You remember that humanitarian mission in Libya. Same kind of thing. So what's really behind what's going on in Nigeria, it's 174 million people. It's one of the richest countries in natural resources. They're making a ton of dough, and the corruption is at all-time levels. So you have record-high poverty rates. So what this really is about, yes, there are the lunatic fringes within these groups, but it's a separation of North and South, Muslim in the North, Christian in the South, and Christians having the resources, and poverty spread throughout the region. So you're going to start seeing more and more excuses for a build-up of military, and it's already going on. We just heard the Secretary of Defense, Chuck Yeagle, in Chicago earlier this week, warning Americans against, quote, the risk of isolationism.
Let's take a look at what I'm seeing. I just came from Camden, New Jersey, where I spent a day, and it was a sad day in the sense that I saw those people who cared very much about their community, and there was one street where every house had barbed wire or metal grills and gates. In effect, they tried to protect themselves. When I asked the people why, and they said, well, because the drug traffic is so bad, crime is so high, poverty is so wretched here that if we do not do this, they'll come right into your house. And they'll take whatever you have. You resist, you'll be hurt or killed. So we have to, and yet we have no place we can afford to go. And I interviewed gang members. I interviewed people. One man I interviewed actually said that he moved to Camden, this older man, because he had a lot of diseases. He was out of money. He was broke. And he couldn't afford his meds for pain. So he was told... he had lived in Philadelphia, right across the river from Camden, so he lived now in this little tiny one room in Camden because he could go out in the street and buy drugs, street drugs. And I said, but that's dangerous for your body. And he said, yeah, and it's also dangerous to be here. He said, I was mugged 3 times last week alone on this street. So that's canon. And I drove up and down 100 streets, stopping everywhere. Now, if you brought back jobs, if you opened up factories, if you promoted small businesses, if you promoted food co-ops, if you promoted community gardens, if you promoted treatment centers and crisis centers with a holistic nature, you could de-ghettoize the city. You could get it back on its feet. You could help the people. And indeed, one priest did exactly that. And yet, no one uses that as the example of what could be done in a neighborhood. So take a look around America now. Camden's the worst, but right behind it is Detroit. And then you've got 500 other towns. What do you see happening to the ghettoization of America and American suburbs now?
Well, if it continues to go on the trend line that it is, everything's going to get worse. I mentioned what happened with Chuck Hagel in Chicago earlier this week. I want to read you this quote. Let us remember that the biggest beneficiaries of American leadership and engagement in the world are the American people, and that this current era of unprecedented prosperity cannot be taken for granted and had evolved partly due to America's diplomacy and military strength, Hagel said. You know, like yourself...
He's a good Democrat. He's a perfect Democrat.
Perfect. And you talked about the jobs going, and people don't know that, you know, they have no point of reference, the younger people, that Camden, New Jersey, like Trenton and Detroit and so many other cities, these were thriving cities in America before they sold out our manufacturing base. So now you have Bill Clinton, he's making the rounds too, setting it up for Hillary and saying how great his economic policies were for America, and he's the one that sold us out probably more than anyone with NAFTA. Oh, the guy that brought us GMOs. And I heard you talking about Monsanto owning Blackwater.
Yes.
And this is the guy, Bill Clinton. You love those bovine growth hormones? Bill Clinton. So the Democrats are the perfect cover for the multinationals. And you're seeing the same thing going on with Obama. But like yourself, I try to do things to change the course. And I believe, as I see it, there's only going to be one thing, the biggest thing that I can see bringing America back, and it's a restoration. And I've started a new movement. It's called OccupyPeace.us. It's only for the United States. And it's based on three words: no foreign entanglements. Rebuild America. This is the time, I believe, and by the way, the polls are with me and those of us that don't want foreign entanglements, because the people can see the disasters of them and how it's robbing us of our future. And it goes, again, you've been up here, I'm in Colonial Kingston. Every one of the founding fathers, beginning with Washington's farewell address, no foreign entanglements. And I have to hear some guy like Hagel or a guy from Princeton, Harvard, or Yale, bullets, bombs, and banks telling, could you imagine them going to Washington or Adams or Jefferson or Franklin and saying, you know, you guys are full of baloney. Don't you know who I am and my father was? You're wrong. We have to go into other countries. So what I'm saying to you, Gary, the questions that you're asking me, the obvious conclusions are that if we stay on the same trend line and support the same systems that we have, it's going to be much worse than it is now. America is falling into third world status. That is not hyperbole. It's fact. The gap between the rich and the poor, as you know, is the widest in the United States of any of the industrialized nations. You look at our along with health, we don't even win place or show anymore. The nation's turning in. You know, when poor people were poor, remember in the old days they were thin, they were hungry, and now the poor people are the most obese. Wonder why? Couldn't be the foods, couldn't be the system. And now we're coming up to the midterm elections, and the media is going to take a big play in it. Oh, who are you going to vote for, the Bloods or the Crips? And I don't say that sarcastically. I say that as a fact.
Gerald,
because both political parties are murderers, thieves, and just like the Bloods and the Crips.
They're sociopaths. Gerald, real quick, because we're out of time, do you know any signer of the Declaration of Independence who today would not be on an enemy watch list, a kill list, or a sedition list?
You got it. And, of course, the Supreme Court just passed that ruling that allows the National Defense Authorization Act to take people like you or me, claiming that we have terrorist ties, and they'll never hear from us again.
Yeah, so here's the irony for all those people who call themselves good conservatives, good liberals, patriots. Just understand, not a single signer of the Declaration of Independence, I believe, would be either alive or safe today, long ago, because of their desire to see change and their how they went about change. They would all be in trouble. So better put all this in perspective. Thank you very much, Gerald. I appreciate it.
Oh, thanks so much for having me. All the best.
Gerald Celente, C-E-L-E-N-T-E, and trendsresearch.com. For the Trends Journal. I'm Gary Knoll. Thank you for listening. Now let's say hello to Luann Panessi. Hi, Luann.
Hello, Gary. I have an email here from a woman named Peggy, and I thought this was very insightful. She said that, she says, are you aware, Gary, of how many aging famous people are developing chronic illnesses and they just kind of fall off the map? People who have given so much to the entertainment industry, and then all of a sudden, like, we don't hear from them. And they end up in nursing homes and things like that. And she's asking, is there any way that we can help these people? Something that we can offer them, some way that you can reach out to them?
I'm not in touch with any of the aging celebrities, so I can't answer that directly. But I'm sure that when someone's no longer in the public eye because they no longer physically or mentally capable of performing whatever they have given us throughout their career, singers, writers, etc., they certainly are human beings who deserve to be helped. And yes, there's a great deal that we can do to help them. In fact, I would like this challenge. I'll put this challenge out there. You get me a person who is well known to the majority of people and who is willing to change 100%. And let's see what we can do within 6 months to 12 months of helping that person. The goal being, if they're in assisted living or a nursing home, to get them out. And I believe we can do that. But I can only do it with one, because A, they're going to be broken. They're not going to be able to afford anything. So I have to be very creative in the kind of protocol we give. Look, you and I both know a person, he may be even listening now, who is near death. And only let me know that he was near death when he was only had a day or two to live. I immediately created protocols, as you know, getting an ambulance service, get hyperbaric, get holistic nurse care you got. And yet the person never used it. Because one of this person's relatives says, oh, I'm the legal guardian and I'm saying no. The guy's got a doctor, hospice care, and we don't need any of this. So even when you want to help someone, even a family member wants to help someone, it doesn't mean that the person is going to be able to be helped if they are not legally competent enough to stand up for themselves. And until a person understands the frustration, I'm sure many people in this audience have seen someone they wanted to help, but circumstances prevented that help from happening. That's also something we hear a lot. A daughter or son will say, I don't want my mom taking that. I don't, you know, it's all nonsense. Yeah, but your doctors have said she has no opportunity. She's got stage 4 cancer. She'll be dead in 3 months. Yeah, well, I'm not going to, you know, expose her to any quackery. But she's had all this therapy and she spent $100,000. Isn't that quackery? If the therapy's not going to cost you anything, and people are going to donate their time, what's the downside? Well, I don't believe in it. And so even though the woman may be able to live, it's you have to deal with very close-minded relatives or people overseeing the process. It's not just someone saying, yes, I'll do it. So if we can get someone who can say, yes, I'll do it, then we'll try. All right? Happy to try.
Okay.
Thank you, Luann.